Bezer Shem Mizboch, we begin Perek Achad Asa, the 11th chapter in the Rambam's Hilchas Chimatan, Laws of Acquisitions and of Gifts, in the Sevik in the Book of Acquisitions, which will continue the theme of the previous program, discussing the laws of a Shechim Rab, a dying person. Where in this Perek, we discuss regarding the terminologies of gifting and what their intent is, which, as we begin Halacha Alf, regarding explaining who is the objective of this gift, how do we know the identity of who it is. Shechim Rab Shomar, if a dying person says, Nechasim Eilu Lubanai, these assets are for my sons. Ein habanes b'chlalim. Although generally, sometimes the word banim can mean the old kids, the daughters are not included, because a dying person does not include his daughters in his sons. The reason for that is because at the time of his death, he does not want to uproot the biblical halacha of inheritance. In contrast, although by a gift of a healthy person, the daughters would be included. Shchimera, the daughters are not included. Now, let's say ben echad avas. Let's say he has only one son and a daughter. Or one son and one grandson. Although he said, for my sons, which is the plural, will only give it to his son. Why? Because one son could be called sons, and therefore it doesn't mean, by the inference of the plural, that it means that daughter or means that grandson. Halacha base. If a dying person says, my asset should go to Tovia. The mason, he dies. The individual comes along whose name is Tovia, and he says, Anihu, I'm that guy. So now he takes it. Now, but let's say he was established, he was well known as Rav Tovia, and he doesn't take it because he's not Tovia. Everyone knows him as Rav Tovia. Now, but let's say the dying person was very friendly with this Rav Tovia. For Kariyas B'Shmer, we call him by his name. Hey, Tovia, remember back in high school, we were friends? Then he does take it because he would call him Tovia, even though he's known as the Rav Tovia. Halacha Gimel, Bo Shneim L'Tvoya. If two people come to collect, in both of them are established, they're well known as their name as Tovia. And he just said, give it to Tovia. So, if one of the two was a Talmudic scholar, then Talmudic scholar, he gets precedence first. And the reason is because we can presume that a person, when he's going to die, he wants to benefit a Talmud Chacham, which is a great mitzvah. Now, let's say neither one of them is a Talmudic scholar. But one of them was a neighbor or a relative, so who kaidim? So he's the one that comes first. Now let's say one of them was a neighbor, one of them was a relative. Shachin kaidim, the neighbor comes first. Let's say shneim kreivim, or shneim shchenim, or shneim tamid chacham. Let's say both were relatives, or both were neighbors, or both are tamid chachamim. So what do you do? Yasa adiyan kamishu yirolahim. So the judges do what according to their eyes see fit. Kol mishu daitim leiter shalzeh amar. Whichever one that they're in their opinion is leaning towards, that he must be the one that the dying person said that he's the one, nicely they give it to him. So there was many people, however, shudda the dying, whatever the judges see fit. Halacha Dalad, how to explain regarding the division of the gift. If a dying person says, I want my properties to go to that person, and that person, and that person. So they divide equally. Even if it's 100 people, they all get an equal share. Let's say it says, I want my assets to go to that person and to my sons. So Cholkin, they divide it. That person takes half. And all his sons share the other half. That was a story of a person that said to his wife, I want my assets to go to you and to your sons. The sage said, she takes half, and the sons take the other half. Let's say it says to that person, to that person, and to the sons of that person. So the sons of that person, they take half. And the first two, they take half. If a dying person says, I want that person to divide from my assets. So you tell mechza, he takes half of it. This doesn't say, yachlik. He says, let that person take a portion of my assets. Yitel echa mishay shasay takes 1/16. Yesh mishar, in some rule, yitel revi anachas, he takes a quarter of the assets. If a dying person says, give that person a portion in that the wine vat that I have. He takes a quarter of the wine. Now, Amma, let's say he says, give him a portion for a barrel. Now, that terminology is saying that I want him to fill up from the pit for his barrel. So, that's a minimizer, because he didn't say give him a portion, it says for the barrel, which is saying that it doesn't need as much from the pit, only as much as filling up from his barrel. So therefore, the Yitl Shmina say, it only takes an eighth of the wine. Let's say Amr, he says, Tunulay Bechelik, like a day, give him a portion for his pot, which obviously is smaller than the barrel. Then Yitl Chelik B'Shnei Masim, in the end, he only gets a twelfth of the portion from the wine. Amr, he says, Tunulay Bechelik Latafiach, give him a portion for his small flask that he used for drinking. Well, then Yitl Chelik B'Shnei Masim, in the end, but then he only takes a sixteenth of the wine out of the pit. Because he's obviously intending that to minimize the portion that he's getting from the pit. Halachatas. Now, moreover, we don't learn out from these measurements to any other halacha, because we don't really know specifically how to understand these measurements that the sages said. This is what they said, this we know, but to compare it to other contexts, we can't necessarily do. Halacha Yud, regarding how to explain the division for his wife like his sons. So, if a dying person says, I want my wife to take like one of the children, like one of my sons. So now he tells kachem banim. So she takes an equal share, just like one of the other sons. Now v'mnoldu lebanim achat tzava. Now let's say after this command, after his will, where he wrote that his wife should take like one of the sons, other sons are born. So mitzvah from the meilu shoy b'shasat tzava. So they combine with the other ones that were there at the time of his command. And when I tell us chalikim abkulim, so she takes a portion with them all. So ketsa haso. Let's say shleisha banim b'shasat tzava. Let's say there were three sons at the time of the command, and she would then have an equal share, so she would get one quarter. But subsequently, before he died, another two sons were born to him. Then she takes like one of the five, which is a sixth of all the money, because now there's six that is being divided. She doesn't divide it as a share, as a quarter, as she had then. She gets ultimately at the end, like all of them, one portion. But the inan tells imam, but she does not take with them, only from the assets that were there at the time that he wrote the will. Of the chasim shabola achas man tzava, but the grounding assets that he got after that he made the command, ein lo bohem chelik, she does not have a portion. She ain't on makin davar shlei bo b'rishusa, because the person cannot make an acquisition for something that's not in his domain. And then is when he said she should be like the rest of them, which is the kinyan. Well, he didn't have those assets, and therefore she's not getting a portion of those. Halachid beis, explaining what's included in the gift. Shechid merashama, a dying person says matatlan shesh lepleni, the movable items that I have for. That I have should go to that person. So nikel klei tashmishus. So that person takes his utensils, not his wheat, not his barley, and things like that. Because when the person says my metatlin, that means his personal items. Omai says kol metatlin shli, all my movable items. Then nikel klei kol. Then he takes everything: his wheat, his barley, all those things. Halachid gimel vavod mechlam metatlin, and slaves are included in movable items. Avolei rechaim atachtoin bekeitzba, but not the lower mill and things like that. Because it's connected to the ground. So that's not what people usually mean when they say my metatlin. But halach yedal omar kol metaltel, not metatlin. He says anything that could be moved, even though it's not normally moved, so and then he takes even the lower mill and things like that, where it technically could be moved, although it's not generally, and therefore that would include even those items. Halach tezvav. Shechim merashom, if a dying person says, nechasai leplani, my assets should go to that person. So nechasa is neitel kol metatlin. So he takes all his movable items, v'cholakakoyes, all his properties, v'abagodim and garments, v'abodim and slaves, v'beim and animals, v'oibes and birds, v'hatfilin and his tefillin, imsharatz farm, with all his books, hakol b'chal nechasim, is all included in his assets. I will save a Torah yesh be'safik, but a Torah scroll, there's a doubt imhu b'chal nechasim ena, is that included in his assets or not? Because ultimately, you're not allowed to sell a Torah for whatever you want, only for certain things. If that recipient does grab it, even Timmy, but don't take it away, but initially they don't have to give it because of the doubt. Halakha to Zayin, how to explain what seemed to be a double gift. Shechiv merashom, if a dying person says, Tnu masayim zuz, give 200 zuz, leplein libachaydi, to that person, my firstborn son, kedroloi, as is appropriate to him, where those words are superfluous. So therefore it's coming to include that in addition to his firstborn portion, he wants him to get 200 zuz. So he takes those 200 zuz. And he also takes his firstborn extra portion. Let's say he says, bib chayros. He says, no, let him get those 200 zuz for his firstborn. I mean, the firstborn's going to get a double portion. Let him take those 200 zuz for his firstborn portion. Then yad el yayna, the firstborn, he has the upper hand. Meaning, if he wants a chelik b'chayr neitel, he could take his firstborn portion, because that's his biblical law, his father cannot take that away. Ratza, but if he wants, masayim zuz neitel, he could take the 200 zuz in place of that b'chayr which his father was giving him, that option. Halachit ches, b'chayr imam, so let's say he says, tunu masayim zuz leplein is ishti kerolo. Give 200 zuz to that woman, my wife, as is appropriate to you. So, neitel asan, when it tells ksubasa, she takes those monies, and she takes a ksuba. Because he's saying, of this extra word, karolo, to say as if besides what she's getting her ksuba. But the mama buksubasa, but if he says, let her get this 200 zuz for her ksuba, so yadal yana, she has the upper hand, because again, he cannot nullify her ksuba. If her ksuba is more than the gift, she could take the ksuba, but she could choose whichever one she wants to. Halachi test. Amma, if he says, tnu masayim zuz leplein b'chayvi, give 200 zuz to that person, my creditor, karolo, as is fit for him, say, rosa, same halacha, noit lam, but noit leschayvi, he takes that money and he takes his debt. Omar b'chayv, let's just say for the debt, then ein la'el chayv, then he only has his debt, and he actually does not have the upper hand to take the gift, if it's more than the debt. Because then it would appear like ribbis. But that's what's saying, that here would be evident, in contrast to the other cases, then he only gets his debt. Halacha chav, shchiv mer hashom, if a dying person says, tnu arba mei zuz l'plani, give 400 zuz to that person, v'yisa biti, and let him marry my daughter. So actually, harizi kibisha nosan l'shtei matas, like as if he gave him two gifts. Give him 400 zuz, and let him marry my daughter. Which kol eiz men shiyotze yikach, whichever one of those gifts he wants, he could take. If he wants to take the money and not marry that man's daughter, yikach, he can take it. But if he said, yikach biti usnu lo yabamei zuz, give him, let him take my daughter and give him the 400 zuz, or it's not. Then that's obviously a stipulation. And he does not marry the monies until he takes the daughters. Say, take my daughter and give him the 400 zuz. Halacha Vav continues regarding how to explain the sum total of the gift. Shchimra sha'amar, if a dying person says, tnu abamei zuz labiti b'ksubasa, give 400 zuz to my daughter for her ksuba, or liksubasa or for her ksuba, meaning either in her ksuba or for her ksuba. So im derech anshehir lohisiv b'shumas nadunya, if the custom of the people in the town is that they add on the evaluation of the dowry, and although they have to give a certain amount, but the lichtiv shavim onu b'mesayim, even though it's really only worth 100, they want it to seem as very respectably read as 200, and therefore that's what people need, and they're going to write as such. So although he said, give her 400 biksubasa or liksubasa, he really means give her only 200 zuz. He didn't say in unspecific give her 400 zuz. He said in her ksuba. What he meant to say was tnu la, give her mashatia shumasa biksubasa, that will be a value in her ksuba, which is really 200 because everyone inflates it double the amount of what it really is. Halacha beis. Amar, let's say he says tnu nadunya labiti. Give a dowry to my daughter. I want her to get married. I'm not going to be around. Give her kach v'kach begodim, this and this amount of garments. Kach v'kach kelim, this and this amount of vessels. Now, who's l'ha begodim ha'gehelim achikei? Now, let's say subsequently, the price of garments and vessels go down. So, ha'revach li'isem. The gain is for the orphans who they're busy with the estate and they have to give what the father commanded to give to his daughter who's getting married. And a nice l'kashar azal. They could give her like the cheaper price because he just said a certain amount of clothing. And there used to be $1,000 an outfit. Now it's only $500. Great. Now they get their gain. So too, you could gain the other way around. If let's say he said, "Tnu arba mei zuz," he said amount of money. He says, "Give 400 zuz of demei hayayin of worth for wine, leviti for my daughter." V'huka hayayin. Now, wine, the price of wine goes up. So the gain goes to the orphans. Where v'noisla arba mei zuz, they only give her 400 zuz worth of wine because he didn't say give wine that much money of wine. Now, price of wine went up. She's only getting half the amount, so that's their gain. Now, Maisa Be'echad was a story with an individual. He was going out in chains and on his way to the gauntlet to being executed. And he says, "Tnu l'plani arba mei zuz mahayayin shemakom plani." He says, "Give to that person 400 zuz of the wine of that place." The sage said, "Yitl arba mei zuz midmei oisayayin." He should take 400 zuz from the value of that wine. Meaning, his intent was not to give to that person from that wine a weight of 400 zuz, because he didn't mention mishkel. His intent was only for the monetary value, even though he didn't mention the mehayayin. Oh, so then the question is, so then why did he designate from that place, which that would seem to indicate his intent was to form a weight of 400 zuz from that wine? Because if he mentions the monetary value of wine, why does he mention the wine of that place? That's kedei liyapas as koichin. That was just to strengthen the ability of the recipient that the orphans cannot push him away. In other words, had he said 400 zuz of my wine, and he didn't say of that place, they could reject him and say, well, maybe our father meant some wine that's buried somewhere. When he says that place, now he has a place where to collect from. There was another story with an individual that said, "Hadekel abiti, I want a palm tree to go to my daughter." Now, he actually didn't have any one palm tree. He had two palm trees that he was at 50% owner in, which the two halves are like a one. So the sage says, "Titel hashneichatzam." She takes the two halves. Shalazin eskaven. This is what he had in mind. Veim shakar dekel. This is what those two trees are, is what he was calling the palm tree. Shuv ma'isab echacham. There was another story with an individual that said, "Tnu l'plani, give that person bayis hamachzik mea korin, that house that could contain 100 kor." Now, v'nimtza, it turned out that abayis sheyesh lazeh hametzava, that the one house that this one was commanding, the dying person who had commanded, only had that was machzik mea esrim, actually contained not 100 but 120. The sage just said, "Zachav avayizeh," the recipient acquires this house. Shadvan Marin, Shekabanosla Zehoisa, because it seems to indicate that this is the one that he had in mind. But he said 100 and it contains 120. Yeah, because Shekala Naisin, whoever gives, Ba'ayin Yafin Naisin gives generously, and even though he said 100, it would mean 120. Bechain Kesa, but the Ramela, anything, something like that, that you interpret how it makes sense. Now look at Gimel. Shechimera Shomer, if a dying person says, Tnu Labanai Shekel B'chol Shabbos, give to my sons one shekel every week. Shomer always says, Atit Moim El Shekel, only give a shekel. And it turns out it's not enough for the shekel. You need double the amount. You need to have a sell every single week. You give them whatever they need. Because this the dying person, his intent was not to have his children starve. Elazar was only to make them more diligent. Because he was concerned that maybe they're going to spend too much money. They're going to rely on what was left over them. So he says, give them only this amount. They're like, oh, they're going to have to become more industrious. And that was his intent. But of course, if they need, you give them. Halach Avdal continues regarding, if let's say he makes a command that's also unrealistic regarding his burial. If a dying person commands and he says, Al tispadu, don't eulogize him. So for that, ain't said nice thing. You don't eulogize him. But Al tikbadu min the chazal, let's say he says, don't bury him from his own, from the estate, from his own monies. Ain't shemalai. You don't list him shiach as a mom and bonab that you should be concerned about the money he's leaving over for his sons. The yapal asma al tsirba, now he's a chesed case falling on the public, that they have to spend for it. No, shasal nicha b'lik for it, because it's forbidden to leave him without burial, and therefore that has to be done. Rather, we force the inheritors to bury him from his estate, even though he says not to, because someone has to in this commandment, and therefore he cannot say, don't use my son's money, instead use from the tzibur.